And I think it's recording, yay. So I'm going to ask, do you want more theory or more practice or try to keep the balance we have?
Yes.
I think there's a good balance.
Okay.
It's good to know the why.
Okay. So, yeah, let's do this first. All right. What's the easiest and most direct way that people learn how to move energy? Through their own wiring. So 9 times out of 10, when people begin to do energy work, what they are taught or what they experience is that they're basically using their subtle bodies, their physical body, as the conduit for the energy. Even if they are opening up to connect to energy from the outside, so they're not draining their own batteries, you're running it through you. Plus sides, it feels natural. It also has greater sensory limitation so that you're likely to feel it more easily. Like, do you feel the direction it's flowing, or do you feel hot or cold or pressure? So that you have more direct ways of sensing, am I doing it right? Am I shaping it the way I want to? Am I focusing it the way I want to, etc. Most energy healing that people are taught involves it running through their system one way or another. Now, what part or what quantity it varies. For example, some people run most of their power energetically very close to the physical, the lower bodies. Some people tend to run above in their upper bodies, and some a mixture thereof, et cetera, et cetera. So there's not one consistent thing there. But if you are moving it through, and that's where most people begin, good news is you can sense it better, therefore shape it better. The bad news is that if you can sense it, that means that you can have a greater reaction to when things go sour. Okay? It also means that you can have a reaction not just when things go sour, but when there's so much. Because all human beings, and it is variable, it changes with time and with effort and consistent exercise. But, you know, some of us are currently rated for 100 amps, some of us are 200 amp boxes, and we vary in how much we can manage before we start popping breakers, or before wires begin to melt. Yep. And
is that like Eptha's thing? I think it was Sacred Space.
She likes to melt wiring.
Yeah.
It's one of her things.
Yeah, afterwards I'm...
So, I mean, she is accustomed to what is her norm and tends to drag everybody along with that.
Oh, but I loved it.
No.
It's
not
terribly along with
it. So here's the thing. It's not a bad thing to periodically experience more than is a good idea for you, just to show you that it's possible.
Yeah, I just needed to get, my wires got fried and I needed some.
That's okay.
Assistance to.
And that's okay, and that's why you have people around
right.
Post-ritual to help to do, you know, triage and pick up. And
but that's what that looks like, is what I'm saying, is how you know.
That's one of the ways. That's one of the ways. There's a lot of ways that you can overwhelm, but that's one of them. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is, are there people in the room that have food or air or water or some kind of allergy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, anybody have a severe one? I do. Tetracycline gives me anaphylactic shock.
I sure have EpiPen.
Yeah, we're about to have bees on our beehives on our property, so we'll have to put out an all points warning. Now. Everybody's energy is not compatible with everybody else's energy. Moreover, there are particular gods, goddesses, angels, things that go bump in the night, etc., that aren't inherently bad, but they might be inherently allergic for you. So not all patterns of energy are going to sit well with you. And that doesn't make them evil. By the way, the reason I bring that up is sometimes, and I've observed it cause problems in some communities, people will experience something very negatively and decide it was because of evil or malice as opposed to it just not right for their bodies, right. Their subtle bodies. So just putting it out that sometimes it's about a bad fit. The problem is, if you are acting as a focal point for energy, whether that be in ritual, or whether that be in a healing session, or you drawing in energy from a variety of sources to do particular work, you may find that it's possible to overload, or it's also possible to find that you're processing something that doesn't sit well with you.
We've been talking about first aid when that happens, or after a really powerful ritual, how to get over the hangover.
We'll come back, loop me back around to some first aid stuff.
Okay.
So I also do a whole class on magical first aid, which we might want to repeat at some point.
Yeah.
Because stuff happens. So, not saying that the three primary modes, there's good and bad about each of them. All right? Around. So through makes sense pretty much immediately, right? Mm-hmm. Who here has seen a creek or a river and seen how a stone or a log that falls in the water changes the flow and redirects it or moves it around it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were experimenting earlier with shielding and pushing back and creating a more solid surface in our energy field. Well, let me give you an example. Let's say that we were in ritual and everybody is directing energy towards the center or directing it towards one or two or three individuals that are acting as the focal point for the stuff, or everybody's sending energy to the healer that's working on somebody. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of running it through through the person's energy directly, they can shift the shape of their energy to reflect, focus, collect, so that rather than running energy through you, you become a deflector that moves the force from one direction to another.
A conduit.
Well,
kind of like a prism.
You don't want to do conduit. Once you get the idea of conduit, it's too easy to fall back into the habit of running it through. So don't. That's why I'm not using that word specifically, because the thing is, once you talk conduit, it's really easy for it to turn into I'm going to let it run through me as opposed to around me. So you can become like so that the outer edges of your aura become what shapes the possibilities. Or years ago, we had a friend who broke her ankle rather badly and did not want to have the surgeon do plates and screws and things on her ankle because she says in the long run this will be a bad idea for her. And the surgeon said, okay, we can do it another way, but it's going to take probably three times as long. And you're not going to be putting any weight on it for a long time. And there's going to be a lot more pain. She opted for those because in her situation, that was the best choice. In the same way that when we did something for John Felos as well. When John Felos was broke his leg, he was on his motorcycle, he got hit. So he had to put a rod in to piece it all back together. But he loves writing about all things in life. So, by the way, I knew the minute he was hit by the motorcycle because the cop said, hey, this called up the store and said, so we have this guy on the ground, he's unconscious, he has a pentacle around his neck, I'm going to describe him to you, do you know him?
Wow.
Because the Dover cops were basically like, you know, if it's a witch, I'm going to call Bella the candle. And I did, but so once, but in this case, once it was fully healed, he had them pull the rod out, and they had to wait another 6 months for it to heal. Because if he had left the rod in, he could have never ridden again, because if he was ever hit again, or fell again, then the bone would turn into dust because it would transmit the shockwave along the entire length of the rod. It would. But he went back for more surgery. So we did some pain management work. So with John and this other person, we actually, rather than moving the pain or dragging it or whatever, we actually basically created a shield and then shunted the energy off without touching it.
Like a cast?
you can think of it like a cast, in a sense, but the idea was not getting any on me,
right.
but basically creating a shield of energy to move the energy and bounce it out off of him and into the ground. Off of him and into the ground.
At the healing, he did that.
Yes. And then reinforced it regularly,
okay.
So that it would, because it fades out on its own.
Taking your stream analogy mm-hmm. and running with it, for prolonged periods of time, would you have the effect of being the stone that wears and the impact of the energy malforms your...
If you're there long enough, but the difference is that unlike stone, our subtle body is living, and unless you exceed its parameters, it repairs.
Okay.
The other bit is that imagine that you create energetically a parabolic or mirror that is, like, think of a band shell. So instead of running the energy through you, you reflect and focus all the energy through a solid shape of energy. Do you get the idea?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or in the focus of your satellite dish or what have you.
Right. And in one case, we actually did a ritual where there were going to be too many people, too much energy, and sure, a couple of us could probably have survived it, but who wants to just survive? or you might need to be functional the next hour or the next day. So we actually charged a ritual object on an altar by simply having three people act as the focused mirror system to actually send the energy there, as opposed to running it through you. But you get the idea. I guess this is about introducing the concept of there are many ways in which you can change the shape and the quality of your energy once you realize how flexible and changeable it is. And not all of it has to run through your wiring. Some of it, and it may take enough more than one person, depending upon your capacity for visualization or shaping, but there are ways to control and shape or contain energy without actually running it through you. Let's go with an active thing that doesn't... Flip to the back side for a second. Some of you have seen this before. on the right side, you see a little figure with the swirly bits. Mm-hmm. All right. Talked earlier about how light calls to light. Energy attracts energy. Power attracts power. In some ways, I'm going to compare it to another thing. It's like mass that attracts more matter. Do you have a question for me?
No.
Okay. No. I couldn't tell.
No, I'm thinking. I'm
okay.
Trying to open this thought.
So imagine, and you've probably done this for other purposes, that you're imagining in your core somewhere this bright glowing sphere like the sun. And you can move your center of consciousness or center of energy to this place. What if you begin to focus more and more power in the space so that it becomes like the sun? Becomes this core that is the center of your personal solar system. It becomes this hub of energy, and you build it up, and you make it brighter, and you make it more solid. You know when you're doing it right because when you walk, it feels like your center of gravity has changed slightly. Where you move, it feels like it's changed. Because usually I feel my center of gravity lower, but now it's slightly higher. So once you feel it's solid there, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to pull towards me a strand of energy, and I'm going to put it in motion, basically set it so it's orbiting my energy, not in my wiring. You get the idea? So basically, you build up this core, and you don't need to move your hands, frankly, but I think it's kind of useful. But you pick, and I don't care if it's clockwise or counterclockwise, it's irrelevant in this particular case, but you pull in a strand of energy and put it in orbit around that core. Pull a strand of energy and keep adding to it until finally you feel like you have this disk of energy that is moving, circling around you. And you can feel it build up because it does feel different when you move and as you walk. And then, as needed, you can either peel off energy to use it, or you can release it all at once in the same way that you would let go of a string with a ball at the end of it. You get the idea? Mm-hmm.
Have you seen people who have trouble taking up space be able to do that effectively?
All things in magic require psychological shift.
Mm-hmm.
All things in magic require psychological shift. So I will say the thing is that the other thing to add to it is that the world allows for more flexibility when we're not talking about physical stuff. So if we, I remember when I was a child having a weapon that was sold as a toy that would be illegal in the current environment.
Yeah.
It was basically two little rings with a cord and two very hard curly balls at the end of your new
toy. Clackers.
Yeah.
You remember those?
Yes.
Oh,
well,
and those are fucking
dents in my skull from those.
Long darts. Hmm?
Right up there with long darts.
In the same category. So if we were kids and we were playing with our clackers and we got too close to each other, there would be a horrible thing that would happen. They would tangle, or especially the strings would break, and people would get hurt. And, basically, they were really a bad idea, but they were so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in the physical world, you can't get too close to each other because you collide.
Seeing stars.
Each of you exists in your own frame of reference, so magically, you can have everybody in this room moving their own orbit of energy that they've collected around themselves without getting in each other's way until you decide that you exist in the same space. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that you can have, I can't even hazard a guess at how many different frequencies of data transmission are passing through this room right now. seriously,
uh-huh.
Yes, right? So magic does allow multiple things to coexist until they become aware of each other, and then they exist in the same frame of reference. So just a thing is that you can do this as a group, and you can also do it collectively in the sense that one person could be acting as the collector or several people and having energy being raised and aimed at them that they are collecting and putting into motion. Now, why would you do this besides the fact? Well, for one, you can hang on to more energy than you're going to feel comfortable with. The other thing is it's energy that's in motion. Because a lot of times the reason that you hit your I'm going to hurt myself moment is not because it was too much energy. It's because you're basically...
Because it stopped.
Because it stopped and you're hanging on to it.
Yeah.
And you build up the heat of it because it's no longer flowing. So it's a way to access and move more energy than is normally a good idea for you to do, for one reason or another. Great way to manage large group rituals where a couple hundred people are aiming energy at you, which happens periodically. And you don't want to die? Or what else? What else? A lot of the styles of energy raising that we do, when the energy is collected, it reaches a moment where you release almost all of it, if not all of it, at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a way that you can, I've talked about this before in a number of classes for different purposes, for the planetary hours, but there have been a couple times where I've made healing tinctures and things where I've stayed up for 24 hours and done a ritual for each of the planetary hours of day and night. All right, well, to have the energy to do all those and not have skimpy ones, you build up this energy because it's now energy that you have in orbit around you. As long as you don't lose your focus, you can continue to peel off energy and use it. So think of it as a giant energetic flywheel as a way of storing energy without having it go sour on you or cook you. So if you do a ritual or working that's going to take a long time, it's a way to hang on to it without, because to exceed the capacity of your batteries, exceed the capacity of what you can hang on to within your own wiring. Does that make sense? And if you're really insane, then you will be. you can also collect different kinds of energy, like perhaps Jupiter energy, I'm going to collect Jupiter energy and put a strand of Jupiter energy. I'm going to collect air energy, I'm going to collect a strand. So you can have more than one strand of different energies. What's the limitation? How many things can you juggle? Mm-hmm. We each have a number of things that, and beyond that, you exceed your working RAM and
So basically, it's an electron cloud of energy surrounding you.
Of specific flavors that you've collected.
That's correct.
Yes. Yes.
So what determines what your capacity is? Is it your ability to keep all of these things in mind, in visualization?
Honestly, the biggest one is how long you can maintain the idea of that core being active and strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's the single. That's the break point. If you lose the image and the energy of your central core, then the whole thing flies apart.
So Evo, just a thought, and I don't know enough about science, so I apologize. But the creation of an atom, or how an atom looks, right, has your nucleus, and then all these strands that are all around it. And a nuclear explosion is when it becomes unstable and breaks apart, right?
The worst or the most energy release is actually when you force two atoms to become one.
Okay. So when you have multiple strands of energy like that, is there a better way instead of having it all drop at once? Rather, would it be safer and more stable to then peel off, as you were saying?
You can do either one.
Oh, okay. Either one is stable or unsafe.
The thing that is unsafe is if you lose the focus of that core, because when you lose the focus of the core, then whatever you're hanging on to flies away, wherever it's headed, in that moment.
Like breaking a glass and having the shards just going anywhere.
Or having a ball on a string and the string snaps without you letting go of it.
Okay. The clackers collide.
No.
And so that means that the ball, I'm trying to follow, the ball would heat anything around you, or it could even heat you.
Won't hit you.
Right, it won't hit me. It will just hit somewhere there. And
it will go somewhere. It doesn't necessarily hit anything, but it will go somewhere.
Could you be injured like in the equivalent of snapback?
You don't get injured in the equivalent of snapback. You may get injured in the sense of depending on what you're trying to accomplish, that may have a backlash to it. I mean, something may collapse that you're working on. Anyway, none of this is risk-free, ever. And however, this is a method to manage energy. And frankly, you don't have to even go to extreme. It may be that you're going to be doing work for the whole day. Let's say that you're going to be doing a triage and healing work at an event for a whole day. There have been times that I'm not actually doing anything with that, and I've built up a sphere of energy around me. By the way, when you get really crazy, you build up so many strands, it might as well be a sphere. Or if you get extra, extra crazy, each of your chakra points can be used as a hub.
Oh, no.
Is this something you can, like, set and forget? Or is this something that
would
constantly be...
So here's the good news, bad news. Constantly isn't what you think, but it is constantly. Okay. like right now, you have the impression that you are continuously conscious and present and aware. Human consciousness has a frame rate. So remember the old days, the ancient, when dinosaurs, walked the earth, and you actually had movies projected on reel with actual frames, actual little black lines in between each frame and the little sprockety things on each side. Yeah.
Yep.
Nothing else you've seen this. So here's the thing: in human consciousness, we don't, because it's going fast enough, we don't see the little black line of non-image between the frames, right? Let's actually talk about, really, if you look at human consciousness, the black line between the frames is wider than the image parts. So we're actually gone two-thirds of the time, and only present one-third of the time in human consciousness frame rate.
That's if you're paying attention.
If you happen to be. So one, we're not really actually constantly here, even if we're doing our best. And like I said before, that when we talk about energetic stuff, time doesn't move quite the same, behave the same. You have a longer grace period in between your lapses of consciousness. So even if you lose your focus, I don't know how long. It depends on how much umph you. How about this? How big this core is, will begin to fade as soon as you stop paying attention to it. How long until it gets too small? I don't know. How big did you make in the first place? Mm-hmm. But are we talking every last moment? No. Are we talking about every minute or so? Probably every minute or so, every 2 minutes or so, you need to reinforce it. But it does have a length of time before it falls apart. Okay. So it's not constant, but it's relatively constant.
So in terms of getting it smaller again or getting rid of those strands, you can still dispose of that into the ground.
If I have anything left over after whatever I've done, I will ground it. Set it downwards. Like anything else, it's usually a safe bet to give it to the earth.
Just remember, nature wants it back to its ground state.
Yes.
If you think of, everybody knows what an X-ray is. X-ray comes from electrons moving from one shell to another in the cloud, mm-hmm. generating a change of energy and emitting, boom, the X-ray. Think of what Evo is basically saying as, if you're not careful, there you're going to generate a psychic or a magical form of an X-ray.
Depends on you collecting.
Why is it we always send energy down to the ground and we don't release it up?
The biggest reason? Mm-hmm. Because the weather's a lot more fragile. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not kidding. I mean, most times people will say, well, isn't space big? Yes, space is big. But to get to space, it passes through our atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And it takes very little to mess with the weather, honestly. Now, it controls weather.
Between air and earth, mm-hmm. when you're talking about, you know, things that are volatile or things that are steady, earth is your steady state. If you can throw lots of energy at it before there's a change. Air is very volatile. You don't want to mess with it as much because there might be a change.
Well, just like the water filtration system in like a fish tank, right? It has to go through charcoal to get out the impurities before it goes back through to go into the cycle of things. So even though you're taking water from the water, you need to filter it. And the only way to filter that is through the earth.
How is that different from grabbing? Doesn't that create change and imbalance?
So when we, if you're pulling energy, you generally, humans concentrate. Life is a concentrator of resources and energy. So when you pull energy from the environment, it's from multiple planes, it's not just the physical environment, but it doesn't become concentrated enough to do much until it passes through you. Or is collected.
So now you're releasing something that's different than when you pulled it down.
It's no longer what you've brought in.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's no longer what you brought in. There's also another thing, and that is that we change the shape of energy. All right, so let's say that you were to try to draw in energy from this room. None of you, and very often, not too often, but I'm going to say a total absolute, none of you are drawing in pure, actual, elemental energy. How come? You'd be dead.
Yes.
No, I mean, so that even when we draw upon the elements, and I'm going to, we draw upon the elements that have been processed by life to make it digestible for us. So I'm going to compare it to, if we were in a hospital and I had a tank of oxygen and somebody needed oxygen and I just attached a hose and just held it straight to their nose, some bad things would happen.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's no spark nearby. Because in order for it to be safe for it to be inhaled, it has to be warm enough, and it has to be humid, because otherwise it will harm us.
Which is why it's H2.
Rate limited as well.
Rate
limited as well.
Oh, well, you know, how many PSI can your lung take?
and you would just, you'd go, it would be an interesting Roman candle after a while.
It would. fluid because the concentration of oxygen is
you would just
so I'm
you
sitting
glow.
Here. I don't know what brought it in. Mm-hmm. Nobody can explain, you know, the incidence of spontaneous combustion. Those mm-hmm. people that have one part of their body just
they did all the energy exercises in 1 month. I can think of several things, but the point is that even when we draw energy, it's energy, for us, if you're a human being drawing on elemental energy, it's energy that's been processed by plants, it's been energy that's been processed by the crystals, which are their own kind of reality, things have been tempered, toned down, so that we can absorb them, and then we take them in, and we combine them with purify them, we make them more human-friendly, we concentrate them to do particular things, so the energy's not the same once it leaves you. Even if, and I'm not just talking about something that you do with intention, it changes simply by being processed through us. Anyway, we're back on track with this? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Looking at the time. Yeah.
I'm going to say that this is a technique that you should try at some point because you will find the day that you're going to need to move or shape more energy than you want to run through your wiring. Or you're going to find yourself in some kind of marathon ritual or healing endeavor that you need to actually have focus access to energy for a long period of time. And sure, you could stop and raise and pull in energy constantly for the whole period of time, but I don't think that's a good idea. There are limits of exhaustion. Beyond that, this is just one possibility of many. It's a question of learning how to use all the things that you have available to you in your energy field. I want to go on to something else, and then if we have time, if we want to, I will demonstrate this one or talk somebody through it.
But I want to make sure that you look at
these fancy finger things in the back here. The lock and pull. Single sheet one.
Isn't this just instructions on how to do metal?
Are we? Yeah, but is this going to be speed metal? Is this going to be death metal? Is this going to be...
It's love. It's love. It's love.
Fresh. Vegan. You've seen the vegan.
Mongolian book. Mongolian folk metal.
Yeah. Who?
Yes.
Okay. So, you've probably been someplace where they have told you that each finger has a different polarity?
No.
Good. By the way, there's a trillion systems. It's a trillion systems. And everybody's got, you know, their own little TM next to what they do. And there's some that are best suited to people who have great psychic sight or great psychic feeling or, you know, they're... But the idea is very simple. You know, there's a difference in charge potential between the top of the body, the bottom of the body, left to right, and each finger has its own polarity. And I'm not going to argue which system is right, but I'm going to say that all three of these have a different polarity. The thumb in almost every system is neutral. And then depending upon who your teacher is, that's either plus or minus. So you get a plus, minus, and neutral. With me so far?
Sir.
Okay. Are there times when you have, either in somebody else's energy field or in a ritual environment, where there's stuff you're trying to grab onto, either because you need to remove it from their energy, or because you're trying to pull energy that is not part of your normal experience. And no matter how hard you try, it's like trying to pick up one tomato seed out of the goo. you've all tried this, yes?
Yeah.
There's a tomato seed on the goo, on the counter, and you're...
With
well,
an
egg
out of the...
Yes. And that's a little easier than the fantasy, but yes. Okay. So I'm going to give it to the example of pulling something out of somebody's energy that shouldn't be there, which happens. Mm-hmm. And it's slippery. And it's not going... You're trying. What have you got? If you've got plus, minus, and zero, neutral, hot, cold?
Mm-hmm.
whichever way you want to name these things, and you send energy through all three. Mm-hmm. You have one hand that you make, you energize as just a flat field of energy. You slide it underneath, and you use the other to lock and pull. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if you have plus, minus, and neutral, you have a way to push, pull, and tug, regardless of what the energy pattern is of the thing that you're trying to move. Get the idea? Mm-hmm. By the way, this can also be used for yanking things that are embedded in walls out, like there's a bad memory in the building. Mm-hmm. Or there's something in Aunt Edna's pearl necklace that shouldn't be there. You know why pearl, right? Pearls, opals.
It's organic. And full of water.
Anything that's organic or has water in it is more likely to hang on to stuff.
Water has memory.
The water has memory, and the pearls, and the reason why there's the folklore about diamond and pearl jewelry being a bad idea.
Diamond amplifies,
and pearl tends to hang on to strong emotion. And because humans are wired this way, most strong emotions tend to be of the unpleasant variety.
Is that why it's tied to Aries in April?
Other reasons, but that's more about the cardinal.
Different class, but sorry.
But that's more about cardinal energy. It can be really positive, but if it gets contaminated with you, then, you know. Yes?
Think all the stories about haunted jewelry.
There's a lot of reasons for it. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons for it.
Why would you use this technique, the lock and pull, as opposed to like the square of bands for something like jewelry?
All right, let's say that. I'm not going to get it around a building or around a wall, but let's say that it is in Mark here. You
know,
Mike? he's close. So let's say something is locked into somebody's energy, like the equivalent of, I don't know, a little astral ticker, astral limpet, or a little imprint or curse object. So here's the thing. It is stuck its little into his energy. And the more you try to dissolve it with a square of abeyance, the more it sucks on his energy too. So if it is infiltrated and embedded in the person's energy field, then just putting it in the square of abeyance isn't going to knock it out, because it's actually attached to the person's energy and has infiltrated it. If it's a pattern that's radiating or projecting, or something that's surface, then it will slough off. If it's something that is become a part of that person.
Psychic tweezers.
You need tweezers. Mm. You need tweezers. Or another thing is that there are also energies that, for example, try this one. There's a lot of people that try to do moon magic and sun magic. This is actually, if you want to pull down energy for doing star magic, you'd be surprised what you can do. Because if it's an energy that you don't have a natural, how does that feel? How does that taste? How does that... Because you need to be able to imagine something to call it to you, unless you can just lay hands on it. This is a way to try to lay hands on the energy that you don't have familiarity with as well.
I do have a question now. So what do you do once you've pulled that thing that you is undesired?
It depends. It could be you're running straight to the sink and running some water. It may be that you have a bowl filled with salt water. It may be that you have two Epsom salt fires that you can put your hands in between the two fires. I mean, there's a lot of ways to attend to stuff. There's the seal for the square of earth can be used to open a portal to toss the sucker to the abyss. I mean, there's a lot of ways of putting out the trash.
Could you remove it yourself, on yourself?
Yes, and that's the thing. If it's something, now mind you, depending on some things, it may not be possible, but it is a way to use ways to get that splinter out yourself, rather than having somebody else get it. But you have to be able to perceive it. And sometimes it's harder to perceive things on yourself. Yeah. All right. Side note. You do the ball of energy. You blow as much, take a couple of deep breaths and try to blow remember we breathed energy? Try to collect your own etheric energy. In other words, you've made that ball of energy in your hand, you breathe in that energy, and you try to blow out nothing but your etheric energy. You breathe in energy, you try to blow out nothing but your etheric energy. You go to a flat surface, it doesn't have to be a mirror, it could be a blank wall. Try to lay down a layer of your etheric energy, and then try to scry your own energy in the mirror made out of your own stuff.
Mm. That sounds fun.
It doesn't last long, but it might be long enough. Basically, you're doing a little projection screen of your own energy, but it's got to be made out of your own energy. Mm-hmm. That's one of those cases where it has to be your etheric energy. That's why I'm saying that you're breathing it in and blowing back out and concentrating until you have enough of your own energy in your hands.
So that's a way of seeing your own energy where
briefly.
Usually it's kind of part of the background because you're so used to it you can't see it anymore.
You've externalized enough of it to make it work. Fades fast, you only get a little bit of a glimpse, but you know, sometimes that's all you need to know. Hey, I need to get help, or hey, I see where it is. Onwards? Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath.
Is it
comfortable? Comfortable beastie? You want to go there? Yeah. I'm going to jump forward and then jump back. You see this cute little triangle, circle, dot thing? It's on the same page as the main outline. And I've got some words under there, only because human beings like it when somebody else comes up with some words for them, even though they're not necessary. I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. So a lot of times when you're about to do work, or you've done work and you feel scattered, you need to actually recombobulate. Discombobulated, now you have to recombobulate, right?
Jeopardy word.
Actually, I've now been to 3 different airports where after security line, they have the recombobulation area.
Does it really?
It does. You know, and you see people like in their half undressed and stuff scattered to the winds, and they're trying to pull themselves back together. It's not fun. Good reason to do the TSA pre-check thing all the time. I got my own traveler number. I recommend it.
Yeah, it's totally worth it.
So. Before or after, sometimes you need to pull it together. So, triangle is the simplest figure. 3 dots makes a triangle. And it represents something finite, something solid, something real. Circle represents infinity, all possibilities. For those of you that have a touch or two of astrology, you can also see in there the dot in the center and the circle representing the sun, or if not the sun, then magically the idea of center, thank you, of center and circumference. So the simplest form for this, and I'll describe and then what it's for, is remember this thing I just said about making the mirror? Well, you want to collect some of your own etheric energy once again for this. Except what you're going to do is you're going to draw a circle around yourself, scribe a circle using your own etheric energy, put a dot in the center, do the triangle. This is basically a summoning circle.
Summoning yourself.
And then you stand in the center, having created this circle of art, this summoning circle, with the idea of center and circumference and infinite and finite, which is what you are. And then using words like those, or your own way of saying it, basically, everything that's me, come back. Everything that's not me, go away. Mm-hmm. I also recommend naming yourself by as many names as you recognize as yours. It could be your full long name. It could be a magical name. It could be a nickname. It could be, you know, saying your family lineage names, if that makes sense to you. But identify yourself by all the ways that you know yourself to be, and keep repeating the idea of anything that is not me, let it be expelled, and anything that is me may come back. And if you do read the little words I put some and heal into wholeness with awareness returning at the rate that is best for me. Why? Right? Because depending upon how much of you, how much of you is scattered to the winds, and how much of it is in some kind of out of balance, as things fold back in, your awareness of them should be at the rate that you can process. Right?
Just holding a mirror to anybody's face and saying your name is hard for people.
It totally is. Mm-hmm. Mirror work is hard work. But this is a way to summon back you. And it's useful as a prep thing or as a post-work recovery and catch-up thing.
So if you use it as a post-work recovery, mm-hmm. then when you're doing the etheric body breathing, it should be with the intention.
Absolutely. With the intention of basically you're asking for everything to return that's yours, everything to depart that you picked up that isn't yours, and for it to fold back into you in a way that's healthy and safe. And you can use your own words. I gave that an example of words. When I do it for myself, I say it differently every single time. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what works and often best. But the idea is the same. I'm going to compare it to something else, even though that's not what you're doing. But you can think of this as also like spiritual chiropractic. Well, no, I mean, really, I mean, you're just trying to pop everything back into alignment. It can be done as help. She won't mind sharing because she's pretty open about everything on Facebook. So how many of you know Kayla? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know she had a really, really bad mm-hmm. concussion more than once?
Mm-hmm. More than once?
Oh yeah, she was almost over her first concussion when she had a second one, which is always really, really bad news.
Yeah.
And she just announced, a few days ago,
yeah.
that she's finally going to be able to go back to work and she's feeling mm-hmm. better, and it's been 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So traumatic brain injury. That doesn't count. Never mind.
That's a different thing. But you're right. But they don't count that. They don't count that. But one of the things that we did for her on multiple occasions in that process was because she was not in the state of mind, she was too fuzzy to do the work properly initially. You would not know what she's been through when you see her next.
Yeah.
You would not know. But what she had was three people that knew her. Basically, she did the triangle and the circle and the dot, and then she sat in the chair in the middle. And three people that knew her well, we were all standing up here doing the, may everything that is Kayla, do you know what I'm saying? And directing it towards her. So it can be done as an assisted recovery if the person is in a state where they're not quite capable of holding what's required to make that work.
Do you think that works if someone is in tune with themselves and their friends know them well? Do you think that would help?
I don't see why not. I mean, it really is a question. I wouldn't do it with strangers, but if it's people that you know and trust, you're going to be able to do the work better.
I'm just curious, with my healing, if I took Mark Leanne and my partner,
See why not.
Yeah.
If that might be a thing.
It would be worth a try. But you can see that this is good for both pre and post, depending upon what's going on. Now, like everything else, I'm going to say, this is not a substitute for long-term healing if you need it. It's not a substitute for specialized intervention if you've had a magical boo-boo that requires, but it is remarkably powerful and effective. But at the same time, I'm going to say, some things are going to require outside healers, helpers. Kind of I just had general surgery. I don't think I'd want to try to do that to myself, even with good lighting and mirrors.
So
when Nancy had her cataract surgery, she had the guy arrange the mirrors
yes.
so she could watch the surgery with her good eyes. She wanted to be present for it.
No. Seriously.
Our Nancy.
So in magic, then, does the same rule apply if, a doctor makes with a patient for himself, maze of fool or something along those lines.
There's a lot you can do for yourself. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely a lot you can do for yourself, and this is something you can do, but recognize that some things, this is a good start, and it may be all you need. But depending upon your circumstances, you may need some additional helpers and healers.
I guess this goes back to the early on when, you know, you have to know when to say when.
You do.
Yes.
You do. that holding your attention? You got an idea of how that might work?
Yes.
It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward.
So are you the dot?
So you stand inside that space, but all of us have the infinite of all we've been and will be. We have the moment that is the present in our focus and our identity of here and now. There's the triangle that touches the circle that represents the finite and the infinite touching and this manifesting you in a specific way and form in this particular life. There's a lot of symbolism that you can lay in there depending upon it. But you're all those things.
Okay. I just spent it in the physical space, but yeah.
I've had some people lay down in it, some people sit in it. I mean, it depends on what's physically comfortable possible.
Thank you.
Almost anything that, there are very few things that require specific posture, unless it's posture magic.
There's that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are trance postures. There are positions that are used for particular trances. There's all sorts of...
Basically, if it's on the internet, it exists.
Anything can be a
thing. Anything in magic that you can think of is a thing somewhere.
And there's a special interest group for it. There's a groups.io for it. There's a subreddit for it.
Noted.
And some of them, unfortunately, are on 4chan. Okay. Good. Not everybody knew what 4chan was.
Nate. You can stay that way.
Nate, yeah. Stay that way.
Yeah.
And the next class will be on how to use your Tor browser. Do you know what the Tor browser is for?
No, I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's the browser for accessing the dark web.
I don't know. I'll show you after we play the picture.
The different class.
I started it.
Hmm?
There's some things I'm not allowed to have.
It would be a bad idea for some people. It also attracts all the wrong kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Get
dumb. Know your networking.
So shall we look at these little things on this sheet that has these two diagrams at the top? These are way theoretical, but honestly, the more you imagine what's possible, the more you can imagine how you can use energy in different ways. Let's look at the one on the right first. It has a little triangle. By the way, these are my little made-up symbols because when I write notes to myself, it looks like arcane symbols in chicken scratches. I know what the little thing I scribbled means, and that's enough to get until I get to sit down and write it out.
When they carve it in stone in your honor, I'll make sure it's perfect.
I'll have to write down a keyword along with the symbols then. All right.
You will have a Rosetta Stone.
I like the Rosetta Stone, even though it's missing some important languages. So if we shall look for a moment, so let's say that you're trying to shape or move energy, right? These are like the three nodes by which most energy manipulation occurs. And I've got them kind of in pairs. Let's do a simple one first. Repulsion, opposition, attraction, amplification, neutrality, negation. All right. So, push and pull. Okay. Repulsion certainly says push, but there's also something about opposition, because opposition doesn't necessarily mean polar opposite. You can have two forces that are equal and the same pushing against each other, as we were to some degree doing when we were doing this exercise. But one of the simplest ways to move energy is to push it. And that can be a direct push, or it can be repulsion. The difference with repulsion is like you've all played with magnets and done the two north poles or the two south poles pushing against each other, right? Okay.
Or perhaps you've worked with things that don't like water or don't like oil and move against, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the simplest ways is pushing, but you have to imagine, are you pushing directly or are you making it flee? Or are you creating an environment in which it feels a gradient that it has to move away from? You see what I'm saying? You've heard the lamp post in New Orleans story? Getting rid of the guy in the middle of the night story?
No.
So, okay, downtown, 3 or 4 in the morning, when the trolleys are now running 1 hour instead of every half hour, and we're all waiting to get, standing around waiting for the trolley, and every single person standing there is in some altered state of some kind or another. And if not alcohol or other things, just utter exhaustion from an entire night in New Orleans, which is enough to do it to you. Uh-huh. And there's a very, very, very belligerent, obnoxious, drunken person who's wandering through, bumping into people, yelling at people that he bumped into, and beginning to make everybody very, very nervous. Not unusual, right? So I go stand near the lamppost, and I imagine that the lamppost is on top of a very, very steep hill. And I'm slowly pulling up the ground, and I become standing on taller and taller and taller hill, and imagining the hill growing outwards and growing outwards. And the guy kept wandering around and stumbling around, but he kept going in a wider circle until he finally was 3 blocks away. Because every drunken stumble, he felt the pull of that hill, of that gradient, to be pushed further and further away from where we were all standing. Change the gradient. In his mind, the ground was already unsteady. Right? So give that unsteadiness a direction, and where will he go?
Can we book you as a travel companion?
I will warn you, I didn't mortify some other traveling companions when we were in New Orleans, because this lady got thrown out of one of the trolleys. Wow. I took one look and said, she cray cray. She had the look.
Easy from across the street.
Oh yeah, and she was going to wait until the next trolley that was going her way. See, she was like coming stumbling out because the guy actually pushed her.
Oh God.
And she's crazy and screaming about how she was kicked off and all I was doing was talking about sex, and she was talking about very elaborate, complicated, gruesomely. So what I did, and everybody's like, because it's going to be like half an hour, right? So I said, here, come on, sit next to me. So I sat her down next to me, and I talked to her and kept her busy for the half hour until her trolley showed up. So I may choose to engage with the person rather than make them go away, because she was harmless, as opposed to drunken dude was potentially not harmless.
At least it was entertaining.
my travel companions were turning green from what she was describing.
Oh, wow. That's what I'm giving our crowd.
No, not all of our crowd.
He doesn't hang around with lightweights either.
Not all our crowd is aware of all the arcane and unusual things that are possible with the human body.
Oh, sounds like a challenge.
You would not have been green. You would not have been green. But anyway. But
I'm an exception.
But the idea of pushing or repulsion, the gradient is also pushing, or creating a scenario where something is repulsed because its natural inclination is to flow against or flow away from. Attraction and amplification. We talked about when you bring in energy, really what you're doing is the same thing that happens with all living things. You consume the resource and you turn it into proteins, you turn it into sugars, we turn it into proteins, the plants turn it into sugars. But we concentrate the stuff until it becomes enough to be powerful and useful. So we act as lenses, we act as collectors. Now, amplification is a different thing. Let me describe what amplification is for a moment, because people go, oh yeah, I know what that is. That's the thing that you plug in and make the music loud. Well, what is actually happening, I'll use a very stupid, but everybody knows this version of it. Do you remember the very short-lived phenomena of the Occupy movement?
Right.
Okay. So somebody would say something, and then like 50 other people would repeat the thing out loud? To physically amplify it?
Right.
Amplification is taking a small thing and repeating it with multiple methods to increase the, without getting fancy, we're making the amplitude bigger, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to amplify, but it's about repetition or if I had my iPhone, and actually we've done this at places, and it's, I want somebody to hear something and it's not loud enough, you find a bowl and you drop your phone inside the bowl so that it acts as a resonator and reflector to reflect the sound.
Mm-hmm. You're retweeting on Twitter.
How about in a way, but amplification really is about convincing other energies to mimic the energy that's the sample.
So you're not like converting energy, you're just changing it temporarily.
You're making it, you're convincing it to take on that particular shape. You're asking for things to vibrate this way.
Which, in a personality energetic sense, is that where you get some of the cult of personality of the people that are kind of like tofu and take on whatever's around them?
I like tofu, but that's a...
More like, I didn't say tofu was bad, just well, that they take the flavor.
Or mashed potatoes or white rice, they just take on whatever you throw on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a... So that all cult of personality is based on the same things that allow community to happen. Mm-hmm. Human beings have built into them a tendency to mirror their surroundings. All social animals do. And if it weren't for this kind of mirroring, we wouldn't have empathy, we wouldn't have capacity to empathize or understand, but all things can be turned to different purposes. The difference between a mob that is a dangerous mob and a crowd that suddenly manages to get it together to form a human chain to pull somebody out of, you know what I'm saying? It's the same.
Oh my God, there are some very powerful people who are very well aware of these concepts.
But I'm saying that that's a form of amplification.
It is a form of amplification at any time that you have, whether good or bad.
Right.
When you have a recruitment and enlistment of multiple patterns falling into sync.
The act of, the mechanic, there we go. Of using people in that manner, for good or ill, just that would count as an amplification.
So, if somebody, let's say somebody had a very emotional experience and they were relaying it to us, telling the story of their very emotional experience. Mm-hmm. And if they were deep and sincere in their emotions, then within a short span of time, we'd probably have some people having, you know, some tearing up a little bit, maybe feeling it in themselves, and good news, bad news. In some cases, that would mean that everybody in the room is now feeling with. Okay, that could be healing, or it could make things worse depending upon the scenario. When you have a bunch of people, or spirits, frankly, it doesn't have to be things like us, that all engage in that kind of empathetic emotional connection, then that can amplify, whatever it may be, for good or ill. And that negative experience of being delayed can be turned into something positive or negative at the flip of the switch. I'm going to compare it to adrenaline and then move on. And I know I've repeated some of these stories, but they really work. So once upon a time, when I was a sophomore in college and dinosaurs walked the earth, ethics and experimentation boards weren't a thing yet. They kind of really weren't. They really, really weren't.
Just do things.
Yeah. So they did. So they did this fun experiment where there was an injection involved, and some people just got saline. and some people got adrenaline. And then you were subjected to video movie clips of different kinds, where you were given passages to read, and some of them were horror, and some of them were love, and some of them were human against nature, survival stories, and various things. And then you were supposed to report your emotions. And here's the funny thing. Adrenaline turned into every emotion. So that it doesn't matter. Adrenaline doesn't mean fight or flight. It means that if you were reading or watching a sexy thing, you got horny. If you were reading or watching something sad, you got sadder or more angry about the sadness. It just turned up all emotions, not just. So one of the things that is built into this idea of amplification is that amplification is just about triggering the switch that says, take what you see and repeat it and repeat it and build it. That's what amplification does. And adrenaline is amplification for any emotional state that's already present. It's why you get all those stupid things where people are about to die one minute and then, you know, rushing into each other's arms and lip-locking the next. And it's not about, oh, it's about life and reaffirming life bullshit. It's because they're so pumped up on adrenaline that they're acting. No.
Adventure dates are the most successful first dates for that reason.
Adventure dates are excellent for that purpose. And it was the classic reason for the scary movie. But you get the idea. Neutrality and negation are harder for most people to accomplish. Okay, let's do negation first. What happens, and I'll use the sound thing for a moment. What happens if you take a sound, see the vibration? We're on the holodeck, you can see the vibration of the sound. And now you take a sound that is the exact opposite of that sound and overlap them. Also known as the science behind noise cancellation earphones, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are flexible and you perceive really, really well, however you do that, you don't have to see, you can feel, you can hear, you can just know. But if you find an energy pattern and you can match the exact opposite of it, you can negate it.
It's just like being so far on one end of the spectrum, you come back around.
If you become its exact opposite, you become its neutralizer.
Okay. It's like adding a negative and a positive.
Yeah.
I've done that for years because I've always been able to see spirit. And in order to not wanting to see for whatever the reason, because it's a constant thing. So I negate it. So that way it's closed off to me, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the same thing. Folklore often has little bits. It's kind of like saying the thing's name backwards.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the old Rumpelstiltskin thing? Mm-hmm. It really, but it requires a little bit more perception to folks, but you can make something simply cease to have any impact because you've produced its opposite.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that vein, you have to match its actual energy, wouldn't you? Because if you know, it's like adding acids and bases.
Yeah, yeah.
You wind up, if you mix strong acids and strong bases, you're going to wind up with an incredible reaction, and then it's going to be neutral.
Yes, kind of like one of my favorite things of when I want a kick of. Put a glob of hot pepper and a glob of wasabi in your mouth. And what? Wasabi's a base, peppers are an acid. They
negate one another.
After the explosion.
After your
face melts. But even if you don't get it perfect, you will have greatly weakened whatever it is, even if it's not perfect. Like most noise cancellation headphones,
Well, it's not a negation, but an attenuation.
If you want to, yes, but I didn't want to add any more words to it.
Basically,
so if you do it completely accurately, then it's gone.
Right.
Anybody who's played RPGs or D&D knows the aligns with weakness too.
Right.
Basically the same concept.
What about neutrality? What about the insulation and the wire, around the wire? Okay. There used to be a gentleman that used to be never a member, but hung out at the edges. And I always remembered Mike as being Mike McKay as being somebody that we could use because he was basically inert. No, this is a good thing. No, everybody is melting. Mm-hmm. Everybody's falling apart. And he was like, I need you to go stand between those two people.
That's why I like Bruce. Because he does that everywhere.
Yes, yeah, he does. So that one of the things is that, but here's the thing, remember we said we could shield? You know, you can become an insulator, and sometimes your best job to manage the energy in a particular situation is to be able to insulate. I'm going to say something about, but what if you have to pick up something that is a bad thing to touch?
You insulate, like when you're picking
up
from the oven, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I'll leave names out of this one, but once upon a time, we got a call from somebody who said, hey, I think, you know, something bad, neighbors, been fighting with them forever. We think they hired somebody and is leaning on my house in the alleyway next to the house is a dog skull that has symbols painted on it.
Oh.
Okay. And some other stuff, and some candles and shit around it.
Oh.
And I said, you haven't touched it, have you? Yeah, I did. It's like, but, so anyway, we got taken care of, and we sent somebody to attend to it and pick it up in a safe way and put it in a bucket with salt water and bring it down to Sealy for us to attend to the rest of it. Mm. But, in a pinch, if you, you know, like, use a stick or something, but no. Who here knows what I mean by white noise? Okay. And some of you, if you're old enough, if not, if you've watched it on TV, imagine the image of a TV tuned to no channel. So it's not just the sound of a hissing white noise kind of sound, but also that crackling, sparkling static that's indeterminate in every way.
Yep.
If you can imagine a sound, and if you haven't seen that image, if you can imagine energy that's neither here nor there, constantly crackling, changing, gray, and you basically wrap your whole hand in this gray, sparkling energy that's neither nor, You've done the energy equivalent of putting on the neoprene.
It's the hand of abeyance.
It won't last long. It won't stop everything. Mm-hmm. But if you need to actually pick up and move something, or if you are approaching, let's say somebody is like deeply entranced, and you need to move them out of where they are. What happens sometimes when you touch somebody who's deeply entranced is it can
big
be.
Jump.
And it can be very disturbing to their energy and yours. But if you have basically wrapped yourself in this energy and then you come, you can sometimes move them out of the space without disrupting them. So you can then get them to sit down somewhere else where they can actually be attended to and not disrupt whatever else is happening in the space. But the idea is to become an insulator. And why does that work in this case? Well, what are you trying to do? You're trying to be something that's neither positive nor negative nor you know, any particular state, so that it has nothing to latch onto, nothing to form a relationship to, nothing to form a gradient to.
I use it when I cleanse homes.
It's a very useful thing in that scenario as well. But it's basically, these are
most things that you do are some combination of those three sets, if you will.
And then on the other side, and then we're going to move on. We're going to look at this one briefly, and then move on to some other stuff. But I think everybody needs to breathe for a moment. We've got the peek of work going. Power can be channeled or diverted, called or dismissed, embodied, or focused or dispersed. That gives you a set of four.
Collect the whole set.
Magical Pokemon.
Though there have been a lot of things like that. I have the t-shirt with the 72 sigils for the bound spirits of the Gaurisha. If you think I'd get them all on it.
Nice.
Well.
Quick question on that one.
Mm-hmm.
This is for Mark, the Ann, and you. Channeled or diverted,
that's in the Bind Star, is that the same thing, and how does that function?
I think so.
Okay, just...
They are separate, but they both of them contain the idea of things being moved or shunted or sorted.
Okay. I just recognize the symbol.
It's two log oozes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of helps it create the cell wall, but there's a lot going on in there.
It's
class.
It really is.
Haven't done that.
How about this?
Probably have to do that.
That particular one contains multiple of these.
Yes.
So that's a component. Mm-hmm. And focus or disperse. All right. Well, everybody has the idea of focusing something like a lens to bring something to a sharp, intense. And sometimes what you want to do is actually take what's ever present and simply expand it. So let's say that there was a little unpleasant energy in space. Maybe too much hard work has been done. People have been studying all day or taking a test or any number of stress-provoking things. So the air is beginning to kind of buzz with that particular thing. Well, sometimes all you need to do is instead of focusing, you could focus it all, collect it up, and take it to the sink and make it go away. But honestly, something as harmless as just the buildup of psychic debris. I'm just going to take a deep breath, and I may ohm, or maybe not, depending upon the context. And I'm going to see a bubble of energy form in the center of the room and get larger, 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 and simply push it all out. Because did you ever do this trick, this test in high school? It was quite fun. We had salt and sugar and glasses of water, and we did different levels of salt and different levels of sugar in each of the containers to determine how faint until you couldn't taste it anymore. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Mm-hmm. No? Sensory? Yeah, we did a kind of like a sensory psychology. They didn't call it that. That was basically. Mm-hmm. But the deal was that below a certain level, though you knew that there was salt in there, or you knew there was sugar in there, it was no longer enough to make any difference to your taste buds. You were no longer reacting to it. So sometimes the way to deal with an energy is to simply dilute it, expand it to the point that it is no longer enough to interact with what's present. We tend to focus on let's make it stronger, but sometimes the easiest solution is to disperse something.
Dilution is the solution.
If only that were true. If only that were true. But I remember being taught that 1,000 times. You get the idea? Calling it dismissed is very good. That means that you're actually attracting the attention of other beings and calling them into play. Embodied is when you become the residence for the power, which is very different than calling or dismissing something externalized. And channeled or diverted is a lot of things that are about creating conduits, creating shunts, creating different containers for or to hold energy or to focus energy in different ways. So let's have a stand and breathe break so that we can do something and have everybody refocus. Let's say 10 minutes max.
Oh. Max. Bend and stretch. Reach for the stars.
There you go.
How many people in this room know that?
Probably all of us could roll.
One.
Plus, or shake
or
VP.
Yeah. A mixture of the two.